OEA because, especially when since this, the Google implemented this web APK, as you might know, it's an Android package. When your application meets all the requirements on Google Play Store and you install it on your Android phone, and it's application container created and everything, actually any link that the client will click will serve by PWA if it corresponds to manifest JSON. So it brings us to really native experience, like you have notifications, you have PWA, and you go from links from this notification directly to your application and not to the website. Yeah, this is MacBook on the right and Android phone on the left. So guess what? We'll see later. So let's briefly recap what they are. First of all, they are for push. Yeah, meaning a while ago we didn't have this handy tool for reach our customers. Now it's time for revenge. So we can send notification directly to our destination devices whenever we want, from backend application or even from frontend application in a less secured way. We'll see later why. Second, they're timely, of course. And the time is really matters for push notifications because some websites like send you a message like there is new products on the website or there is a new article. I don't think that this is the best candidates for push notifications. Another thing, when you have like limited stock is on sale or you abandoned cart or like your items you ordered not longer in stock and you need to take some action. So when you can answer the question, will customer will immediately react to the push notification, then it's probably a good candidate to push. They're relevant is secure. Yeah, sure that they're relevant because they send on time, they send directly to the customers, they personalized and secure because of technologies it works on. When we talk about cross, there are different yes and no's. That's why it's a double quote. Generally, it's cross-platform and cross-browser. But in order to have notification works, we need like three things, right? Service worker, which serves like all the background things and which actually delivers the message to the customer. Push API, which gives us the ability to get the message from a message server, and notification API to natively display the message on OS level. So when you keep all the things, it will work. Otherwise, it works in most popular popular browser on desktop. Also on mobile, except iOS. So even if you have Chrome set up on iOS, you won't get notification so far. So this is a little stats from Can I Ask? And yeah, you can see that iOS Safari is far behind of others. Supporting push API and notification API. There is support of service workers. You can check WebKit status on their page and they list the list of technology they have like considered to be developed, in development and developed. So service workers completely developed, they're ready to use. But the others are still pending. Yeah, let's see how it works.
So this the questions to the or
yeah, sure.
To the ask at the end.
I don't mind.
If we go back to the service cross thing before. When you mentioned service workers and backend, one before. The background. Do you mean like service workers from the browser, right? Not like on the web server.
Backend. Yeah. The browser registered
the device itself.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so all of this more or less front end compared to the server stack, which would be.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. This is pure support from browser.
For the
each browser is able to handle notification API and display the message in operating system.
Mm-hmm.
Each browser is able to handle push API from the server. So this is a general picture of communication between our guys. We'll take a closer look at each step, but at the moment, just enough to know that we have PWA, your client device, and this middleman in between, which is called message server. So we don't actually push messages from application directly to device, but we go through this message server. And what is message server? It accepts requests from your application, like send this message to this device identified by this identifier. Of course, you need to send some key and keep client token, which is client identifier. And it displays the message to destination device. Now, different of them, we will experiment with FCM. It's a former called GCM, Google Cloud Messaging. Now it's Firebase Cloud Messaging. It's free. You just need an application key and that's it. From Apple, it's APNS. Yeah, developer certification, $100 annually. Mozilla provides us with Mozilla Push Service. It doesn't even need to be registered, and they have open standard. So this is my account in Firebase. It took me like 2 clicks. You create a project, and you immediately supply it with a supplied with a server key and a sender ID. This is 2 things you need to push notifications. And what is good about Firebase that it provides you with a Firebase SDK. So to start working with notifications, you actually need just to include a couple of scripts and initiate your messaging. So you see this message sender ID, which is. So on first step, we just ask the device to give us an agreement for sending notification, and we would like to know who you are, and to know your identifier. So this is implemented in this get token function. Sorry, Florin, no ES6 week. First of all, we check if it's supported, like notification service worker. Of course, it could be wrapped by this Firebase SDK, but it doesn't do this, unfortunately, so we do it by hand. If it initially page load not already was granted, we just check if it's granted. If it's not, we just request for the token. So device gets the request just, hey, some application needs my token. So there are subsequent requests that goes between client, device, and message server. We don't know about them. We just know that there is a request from client to message server and response. And this is actually the registration of client device, no matter it's a desktop or mobile phone. You just need to get a token from message server. So he gets a token. And once we get this token, there is a promise on request permissions. then we get a token, then there's a promise on getting successful token. So we would like to probably save this token somewhere, and probably in our database, right, to identify the customers and later. So return client token to web app. Now we have this token, or in a normal workflow, you will send this token in your database. Like a regular post request to your Magento controller with a current token. This is an example of saving to local storage because I have a demo on my GitHub pages, and I read the token from local storage because I send notification from front end, not from back end notification. So here it up to you when you want to request for this token, because there is not much sense just in token. Yeah, you want to associate this token with some of your customers, with the current customers. That's why it probably makes sense to request permissions when the customer isn't logged in, or save it in the session and then bind it to the customer account. So in later, you know that this customer has these and that devices. So he has three devices. So then if it comes to personalization, you know that which token corresponds to which customer. And yeah, having all this data, you have more to analyze. So we store our token. And the last step is basically sending message, and it's, for me, it's the simplest one, despite it takes two steps, but we don't really care about this step because it's completely handled by a message server. So we just can listen incoming connections here and can subscribe to events when the destination device got this message. But how this message is generated and sent, yeah, we're not involved. We're involved only here. And here it's a very simple part. It's just a regular post request to our message server. As you see, it has like this URL and a good authorization key, which is pretty the same as the server key you got from registration. And JSON body. There are plenty of parameters available here. You can check them on this list, but nothing else. No encoding, no encryption, just key, done. It's possible to send like to multiple recipients. As I remember, it's up to 1,000. This is the case when we don't have really personalized message. But in case you have some promotion rule that can be applied for many customers, why not? So this is how send notification works from front-end application. So you see that our server key is exposed to our JavaScript. That is why it's not really secure. But since we have a fetch method, we can post any server and send anything we want. And the purpose of this demonstration is just to give them work without backend part, headless, everything in front end. This is our JSON, and everything else. This is like PHP, the same. Even without any libraries, but there are many libraries that can do many things for you underneath. Like for different message server. They provide just more sophisticated API just to not low-level curl, but methods probably they take care of. We'll talk later a little bit about WebID, because it goes more about encryption, and it would be nice to have some more handy tools like instead of like curl. So your token ID is actually the destination token of client device identifier and the same curl request. There are a couple of quirks I want to pay attention. There is an on message event for Firebase SDK. It triggers when the customer gets a notification and actually have the website open. What gives to us is just to be more flexible while displaying this notification. You can render some model pop-up, or you can like not displaying like in the top right corner, but somehow represent it on the website. Of course, it requires some tricks, because you need to register the service worker again, and on mobile devices you can't initiate a new notification controller because it won't work. So when the service worker could not be empty, so there is some tricks. But in this case, you just get the full control of notification that comes already from message server. Yeah? This is the event when the message server already sent the notification to device. Time to leave. As we already said about time, yeah. It's also by default, it's 1 month of messages that can be stored on the message server. But I don't believe that anyone will use this deadline, like 1 month. So you probably will always specify the time to leave parameter. So here we have like, keep this message on the server for 15 minutes. And after 15 minutes, no sense to send.
So if I don't have, if I'm not connected to the internet, I won't receive it?
Exactly. But again, if it's a promotion that will last for 2 hours, and you specify time to leave 2 hours, after 2 hours, promotion will gone, and then what sense you to notify about, like, you click the link, nothing, I'll disappoint.
Mm-hmm. And at some point, you have the possibility to send it to multiple clients.
Exactly, yeah. This is just an extra parameter.
Is it a way that you can differentiate between who clicks the link? Like, you have the click and action.
Yeah.
Can you differentiate in the app who clicks that link? Yes. Or do you put some parameters into that click action, so to send for each customer?
You're talking about click handler, yeah?
Yeah, to see
like you want to know who clicks.
Yeah.
So this is on message. This is a way of this word intercept.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can do the logic here.
Yeah.
You
want to, and the regular anyway, your service worker will be notified about click event, click action. So it just on message, it just guarantees you that the message is displayed while the customer on the website. So we just you can just control this data, and you can control your UI.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, there is a handler. Oh, there is a name like handle click as background kind of. But yeah, you control this. There is also time parameter, which is useful when you want to start something very soon, like at 10, and you want to send a message like this will start at 10. So you include this time, but then as you notice, it was a really bug to to, not bug, but the issue for me to, it's hard to discover why it was not working. The notification root node, root element, change the data. You need to change the data in order to use time. And then this time comes to your message, comes to your this handler click. And in JavaScript, you can operate with this time, and you can actually display the time with a locale of the customer. So you can, every time he clicks, you can calculate it in the handler and display a message like 15 minutes left, or 40 minutes left, or 10 minutes left. So the time comes to you, but it just, when you change it from notification to time, it will not be handled by regular SDK. You just need to implement this background handler. So, as I said, I choose the Firebase JavaScript SDK way. It's really simple, handy. You just get a server key, sender ID, and you're all set. And then you get a client token and start to implement notifications so easily. It has more support. On Android and iOS, I had a chance of testing in iOS, and it didn't work for me, but it stands that it supports. I don't know, maybe not tricks enough. And it was like easy to use. Then another way is BEP IDE. It's a volunteer replication key identification, kind of weird words. It's a newer thing. And it completely relies on the fact that BEP push protocol supports it. So it has less support. It's written that it's Chrome and Firefox. It doesn't need to have a sender ID because you just need your public and private key on your application. And it's a little bit more difficult to implement because, first of all, you create this JSON object, you encrypt it with your private key, you send this to the message server, it decrypts with the public key, and then, but anything else, it's simpler. And it was introduced after SDK, because SDK was tended to prevent you from this, behind the scenes, yeah? Just gives you an API, you use, you send the message, that's it. BEP IDE, pick up. I think everything will be on BEP IDE, so.
Just wanted to remind you, 25 minutes are over.
Yeah, I'm really done. Yeah, backend finally. There is nothing much about backend, yeah. You can send notification whenever you think it makes sense. I find that the use cases would be like regular plugins in Magento 2, which will have after blah, blah, blah methods, and will react on different events on the system and then decide if there is a sense of sending some notifications. Yeah, since it's a chip and the simple operations, it's still blocking. So we talk to another server. So that's why it's better to enqueue these messages. You have more control on them. They, you can track which messages were pushed, which refused, and of course, minuses. It could be not delivered, of course, based on time to leave, based on connection, based on even this browser working in itself. No word support, we already seen. And this is the third thing, it's every device needs to be registered. Yeah, this token is bound to to some device. Yeah, the same customer can visit the website from mobile phone, whether from desktop, and you need somehow to match these different tokens to the same customer entity. Yeah, this is reality. There are, of course, around the nice feature, there are different businesses that can provide you with API. But of course, you get the less flexibility, you need to pay for it. And as you've seen before, it's really easy to implement and you're fully flexible. Yeah, this is my GitHub. You can click and play around. And if you have any questions.
I have one, but it's gone. it was related to a slide. If you rewind, if we have time, I'm not sure.
Yeah, sure. There, we have 2-3 minutes for questions, and then.
Before that, I think. We'll do the text one. Yeah, here with the paper. So this Firebase JavaScript SDK, this is in the diagram that you showed. It's on the client for communicating with the messaging server, right? To get the token for the device.
No.
It's on.
It's only between you and client.
Between the app and the client.
Yeah, the only thing that belongs to SDK is probably the endpoint URL of message server. When you request the permissions, hey, let's go to the message server and got the token here. Then it's a part of SDK because device knows the endpoint URL from your SDK. So this comes from SDK, but communication between you said device and message server.
Yeah, I mean, for when you install the app, it requires a token from the message server, right? So that uses...
No. I require a token from device. And then there is a subsequent request that I don't really control between device and message server.
And is that using this SDK or not?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so.
So you don't have to implement that?
No.
Okay, so just between your app and the message server in order to send notifications to the device.
Yes.
And the web ID would eliminate the message server from this scheme? Or how?
I wouldn't say it will eliminate. At some point, it will keep the API. It just, the sender ID, for example, that's not required in web ID. Will be more maybe not required parameter, but still they can't just obsolete all the services that already work. Probably under the hood, they will work with web ID.
But the sender ID, if I remember correctly, is the one which you send to the client in order to get the token for your application, right? Sender ID represents your application and allows you to send messages to the client, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the sender ID and my server key is a poor handshake between me and server message. That he knows that this sender really requested this token and I can dispatch this message identified by this token from this server to this device.
Mm-hmm.